Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, our final hour of the show. If you want to get in, 713-780-3776 is the number to get in, to hang out with us. Whatever you want to talk about, you are more than welcome. Astros won. We've got some football stuff to talk about. We still got some basketball stuff to talk about as well. We haven't hit on Tim Legler had some. It'll be interesting. We'll play that. He had how to use Kevin Durant in the Rockets offense. We'll get to that. Also, the Nuggets owner, very interesting stuff about Nikola Jokic, and we'll get to that as well. Keith wants to get in here and talk a little NBA. What do you say, Keith?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on. Just want to get you guys' thoughts on, you know, the Boston Celtics. You know, Tatum's out next year with the injury, obviously. You know, they move off of basically two starters in Jrue Holiday, Porzingis to get under the salary cap, bringing in guys like Georges Niang and Anthony Simons. You know, Horford may not be back. I think they got to re-sign Hauser. You know, they're basically going to be down three starters from a championship team. Is that window closed for them? You think Jaylen Brown gets moved? The Celtics aren't going to be the two seed next year. This is going to be a pretty different roster. What do you guys think?
Yeah. It's the East, so it's going to be easier. I still think they're probably a playoff team, but yeah, I mean, it's a shell of what it was just a couple of years ago when it won the title. And is this going to be a Celtics dynasty? Nah, it's going to be 1 year pretty much. And when those contracts come due,
they were already going to do a lot of this stuff because of the finances that they're in.
Yeah.
That's why ownership sold the team, because they saw that it's because, like, they say they lost money last year. And they were going to lose money moving forward. So they were going to make moves, but you still have Brown and Tatum. It's just not next year. Next year's not going to be your year.
Yeah. Tatum, I guess you expect him to come back as good as ever.
Yeah. I mean, it is an Achilles. Like, we shouldn't just automatically assume, although I remember when Achilles were career, like, when Dominique Wilkins had his Achilles, now that was a guy who played off of explosiveness. He was not nearly as explosive after that. But it just seems like, I don't know, it just seems like the medical advancements have made almost every injury, you know, you can come back from them. It seems like, what's the injury that you think of where you know, Achilles is the one that's the biggest concern for anybody that plays an explosive position, a cornerback, wide receiver, running back, basketball player. But there's guys coming back from Achilles.
Yeah. Let's move on to Tim Legler and how to use KD, and see if you agree with Tim Legler. And, you know, KD joins this lineup. No Brooks, no Jaylen. It's going to be different. But and we'll see how they go, how the offense is going to operate. Here's how Tim Legler thinks the offense should operate for the Rockets next year.
You know, one thing about Durant, he's a little bit different than some of the other elite scorers, because I don't think Kevin Durant necessarily needs you to come down and change everything you do for him. He's one of those guys that kind of, he even doesn't mind other guys taking shots early in the game. He just kind of chills and, like, you know what, I know I'm going to get to my 30 one way or another and do it efficiently. So, look, I think their defense is key here. Like, their defense can be elite. It can be a top five defense in the league. That's going to trigger a lot of what they want to do, getting up the floor earlier. I think Kevin Durant at this stage of his career is better when you could attack in the first 10 seconds of the clock. and he can catch it in cross matches and just get to that mid-range pull-up shot that he loves so much. In the half court, you know, I think incorporating, you know, being able to incorporate Şengün and running your offense through low post or the mid post area or the foul line area, in addition to now having an isolation player or a guy like Durant who you can run pin downs for, like running a two man game but in a pin down version with Şengün and Durant coming off for elbow jumpers, wing jumpers, and playing out of that into an ISO. That's what Kevin Durant loves to do. I wouldn't change anything and ask Kevin Durant to be anything other than he is. You don't acquire a guy like Kevin Durant and then ask him to be different. You know, you go get him because you want him to be exactly what he's been.
Yeah. Agreed. One thing, though, it's kind of important is one of the reasons Kevin Durant didn't go back to Golden State because he didn't like Steve Kerr's offense. So it's kind of a big deal that, you know, you get that. Ime is a sharp guy. I mean, Ime is going to do what he loves, Kevin Durant. So I would imagine they're going to incorporate an offense that Kevin Durant is going to be very comfortable in and like. They need Kevin Durant. They need Kevin Durant to be Kevin Durant. And so, you know, at Golden State, Durant was like, I don't like this at all. I mean, obviously you had Steph and Clay. So it was kind of a big deal to get them as many touches and in the right spots as they could possibly get. But apparently it just didn't suit Kevin Durant. So this will suit – I don't have any worries.
Five teams in 10 years. Yeah. I think Kevin Durant is a guy who likes to have things just the way he likes them.
Well, right.
It's who he is, a little bit high maintenance from that regard. Not necessarily – I don't know about the personality. I mean, I think he's – you know, we know he's very sensitive to criticisms or comments about his play, especially from people he doesn't respect, which includes everyone on the internet. And I get it. You know, it makes some sense. And a lot of times Kevin Durant's right with what he says. As a team guy, though, I think he does. Kevin can't stay in one place because he's just not ever happy or satisfied in one place. And I think that gets to who he is. Like, he's not going to be. He has to have things just perfect in terms of, obviously, or he would find a home where he could settle in, and he just hasn't found that home. And
Kevin Durant is searching for a place to win.
I think he is now. I don't think his entire
career.
It didn't
work out in Brooklyn because of injuries, and the Suns just sucked. The Suns were just Isaiah Thomas running the show, just a disaster.
Funny, Golden State, I would have figured was Draymond. I wouldn't have figured it was Steve Kerr's offense.
No, saw an article that said he and Draymond are okay. It was Steve Kerr's offense that he didn't like, and I don't know. It's not going to be an issue here. Not with Ime. Ime is going to make sure. And listen, Kevin Durant is I just saw somebody put out was a Bratto. The best field goal percentage, the top two guys in the league last year, were Amen and Kevin Durant. Amen gave up 40%, and Kevin Durant gave up 41%.
Oh, defensively, yeah.
Defensively. So, you know, I know that we're talking about, well, you lose toughness with Dylan Brooks gone, that's for sure. But, I mean, you may be better on the wing with Kevin Durant.
I don't think defensively you will be because Dylan Brooks could guard multiple positions. Kevin Durant's not going to really guard. You can have him against some of the stretch fours.
Yeah, but you got Amen for that. You got Tari for that.
Well, Amen's going to be a one and two. I think he'll be guarding the ones and the twos. Well, the wings, it's not really ones and twos anymore. He's either going to be on the wings or the point. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. You've got. Amen is flexible because he can guard pretty much anybody you throw on the field, court. So he'll catch he'll travel, as we say with cornerbacks. He'll probably travel with the best, with the toughest matchup. If it's Steph Curry, it's Steph Curry. If it's going to be, Kawhi Leonard, it may just be Kawhi
Darius
Leonard.
Garland, it's going to be whoever.
He can. One, two, or three, he's going to guard whoever he can guard for if you need him to. That's not a problem. And he's probably not going to be real fun for a five, especially a five that's a little bit passive. But regardless of that, I think KD, the issue defensively to me is KD on switch offs, we'll say he does. He's long. He's tough to shoot over. He's getting older, so laterally he won't be as quick as he usually is. But long players always have that advantage of closing. You know, when you try to go small on those guys, we saw this with Chad Holmgren. Chet's taller than Kevin Durant, but we see that with Chad Holmgren as well. As long as you have some athleticism, when you're that long, you can contest those. You can close and contest those little pull up jumpers off of man to man situations, and then you're having a contested 3-point look, which is one of the things you want in the NBA. You would rather have a contested three than you would guys breaking your defense down, getting into the paint. So I don't think he's going to hurt defensively, going to hurt the team. I think Dillon Brooks is maybe a little better on the ball with top scorers. But you had some defense that you could, even if it's a little defense, what you sacrifice on defense, you make up more so on the offensive end, what he provides. Legler sounds very positive.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's hard to not sound positive about the Rockets right now.
Yeah.
You know, Brian Windhorst has said a lot of positive things about the Rockets as well, and they've been picking up Kevin Durant. One thing he did say that was really stupid that kind of pissed me off a little bit. Brad O put this out. Brian Windhorst had his list of the five greatest individual seasons in NBA history. Number one.
Who did this? Windhorst?
Brian Windhorst. Jordan in 96 was the greatest season ever. Kareem, 71. LeBron, 2013. Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, 2025. And Shaq in 2000.
Ooh, I don't know that I could put SGA in there. I know it's really efficient shooting and scored a lot of points, but I don't know. SGA in the top four all time? I don't love the point bias. More points are being scored right now. Right. So you have to look at percentage of team points and what would his plus minus. He's not a bad defender, though, but man, top four?
In 1994.
Jokic isn't in there anywhere.
No. How about that? 1994, the dream. NBA champ, finals MVP, NBA MVP.
Defense player of the year.
NBA defensive player of the year. All NBA first team, third in scoring. I mean, how is the dream 94 season not comparable, not better than Shea this year?
Yeah, now, you know, you want to know why? What did Dream shoot from the field that year? What was his true shooting? Because what Wimby and what a lot of analysts are going to rely on now is going to be true shooting percentage, which is always going to benefit.
Well, his true shooting was what he shot from the field.
Exactly. And right. What did he shoot from the field?
What did he win? What did he do?
I'm telling you right now, I deal with this all the time and I hate it. When you have arguments now, it always goes back to points per game, which is going to be in SGA's favor, and then like data-dredged analytics numbers, which typically the easiest one is just true shooting. So if that's going to be the case, then the big is never going to have an advantage, even though he's going to fill up, like Dream filled up multiple stat columns.
I mean, defensive blocks, I mean, come on. The Dream's 94 season was...
He was everything on that team.
Everything. He was everything.
He did shoot 21 shots a game. From the field, he shot 51%.
Against one of the best times for right. centers in the league.
Yeah, but we have to realize that 94, 95 means little. Because the guy from Chicago wasn't playing.
That's right.
So none of that matters.
That's right. He guards Dream.
No, his mere presence would have affected Dream more than anything else. So
he wouldn't have won a championship.
And he wouldn't have won a finals. He wouldn't have been finals MVP. Dream would have been finals MVP. So that's the argument.
The guys that Dream had to play against night in and night out. Oh, I mean,
say it now, John. If number 23 was on the Bulls, would Dream have that finals MVP?
Yes.
So you think they beat the Bulls?
They beat the Bulls.
Oh, okay. Well, no, wait a minute. You didn't believe that earlier in our show history.
Yeah, I believe that.
Caught him in a lie.
No, I believe that. I believe they would have won. And Michael Jordan has talked about the he said, oh, that guy in Houston, he's talked about him before. Now, the whole Vernon Maxwell shuts Michael Jordan down is a bunch of – that's not a – that's a bunch of bull. But Michael Jordan loved the Dream. He thought the Dream was
– just Rockets erasure. It's been – it's a thing. Well, that didn't matter. That didn't count because Michael wasn't around.
Oh, well,
been the storyline for years.
We dealt with that since –
yeah.
Since 94, like, as a Rocket fan for my whole life, I had to deal with that. It was like, well, you know, this is what people think, and I would argue it. You could come up with stats. You could come up with Rockets regular season games against the Bulls, and it always came back to it's the same argument you use with against LeBron James, 6-0 in play in the it's hard to argue against 6-0 in
finals.
Championship series.
Six
it's hard to argue.
Six finals MVPs, six titles. It's the argument that can never be beaten, no matter – what yeah. you say, mm-hmm. if Michael's around, he's winning because that's the talk around Michael Jordan. So I don't agree. I think Windhorst made a mistake, but I would imagine he didn't even think of Dream.
So value over replacement player. Here's so in terms of the analytic numbers, his PER was 30.7. Olajuwon's was 25.7. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander's value over replacement player was 8.9. Akeem Olajuwon was that year was 7.3. When you go to the analytics, when you go to that data, win shares per 48 minutes, 309. Shai led the league with a 30.9% win share. Akeem Olajuwon's number is 21%. So, like, there's from an analytics standpoint, Dream doesn't even touch Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. That's why, and yet I watch the impact of both players. It's too tough. Like, it's not really fair because the game was played everything. Dream led the league in free throw field goal attempts, 21.5 a game. You can't imagine a big man having that many attempts. His percentage of the team's shots were enormous. So, yeah, Dream was going to have more points, obviously. His field goal percentage was under 52%. But, like, he had to control the game was so rugged, so physical, so low scoring. You had there was no such thing as early offense. Everything happened in the last 7 seconds of the shot clock a lot of times. So it was just a completely different game. Like, you can't even compare the way basketball is played in the 90s to now. Not even remotely close.
No. It's absolutely
it moved inside out as opposed to outside drive and dish.
The Dream always the ball goes through the big men.
The
big men. Yes, through the big men. You know who was top dog? Dream.
He was top dog, but you know what? There was a lot of fireworks whenever Dream played, and it's funny that you know we're mentioning fireworks because. I want to tell you about Top Dog Fireworks. Top Dog Fireworks going on right now. They got 14 locations open around Houston. Get your fireworks for 4th of July. Go to topdogfireworks.com. If you spend $250 at Top Dog, you're going to receive a reward while supplies last. To find those locations, as I mentioned, topdogfireworks.com. Check out their wall of buy one, get one free products. Over 100 BOGOs to choose from. So that's 100 different ones to choose from. Get in there right now while supplies last and get your hands on the buy one, get one free. But don't forget, when you spend $250 or more, you're going to get a sweet hookup as well and a reward. And so that's all why you're getting your buy one, get one. You'll have fireworks for hours and hours that you can take advantage of and enjoy. But it doesn't stop there. They've got a great fireworks holiday giveaway contest going on. They'll have a winner of a fireworks assortments valued at $450 at each store, at each of the 14 stores. And everyone who enters will have an opportunity to win the grand prize. It's called the Top Dog Beast Assortment valued at over $1,100. To enter, just visit Top Dog Firework location or visit the website at topdogfireworks.com to complete the entry form.
The Killer Bees, weekday afternoons from 3 to 6.
Kevin Durant is a Houston Rocket, Blankers.
When I got the news,
and saw what they gave up, I'm like, how could this not be a win for the Houston Rockets?
This played out exactly like I wanted it to from a pipe dream scenario. Get Kevin Durant on pennies on the dollar.
You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
You know, I had not thought about this, John. I wonder how, I guess there was a, I guess Seattle Sports Live, I did not listen to this, awful announcing, just put out a, I'll see if we can get sound. But remember, that was a Seattle Seattle Supersonics that became the Seattle Sonics that became the Oklahoma City Thunder.
There's two guys left in the league to play for the Sonics.
And it's, well, obviously one is Kevin Durant. Let me see.
I just saw it the other day.
They were drafted in the same class by the Sonics, I believe.
Oh. So, who's the other player? I can't remember.
They're now teammates here in Houston.
Jeff Green? Oh, that's right.
Yeah, that's
was
right.
Jeff
that's
Green.
Jeff Green. That's right. Yep.
God, Jeff Green seems old as hell. Kevin Durant seems like he's still. Well, of course, KD, Jeff Green, I think, was a 3 or 4 year player.
Yeah, he played at Georgetown for a little bit, I think. Yeah. More than a year, I think.
Yeah. I looked at the mock draft for basketball, the mock draft that doesn't count or matter, but unless the Rockets have a high pick. And it's just all freshmen across the board. Unless you're an international player, you're a freshman, is what you are coming into the league. That makes some sense. Walter Clayton Jr., everyone's favorite college player, but he's a senior. Mm-hmm. They got him going 21st, which made sense to me. He didn't look like a top 15.
Yeah, he's 6'2 without shoes, so he's not miniature, but he have to play point guard, and no one's sure if he can adapt to that. He's a guy who can knock down shots. Can create his own a little bit, but doesn't have extreme athleticism. So when you're that size, not a great wingspan, and you're a senior, you're going to be picked in the 20s.
You guys got any interest in tonight's draft?
I was going to talk about, or at least ask a question.
I don't.
Because of the Rockets not having a pick and this team being pretty much fully formed, maybe they'll make a trade or so. They have enough youth. This is like the city of Houston like sitting out a major sporting event.
Yeah.
Unless you're not a fan of the Rockets, unless you're a fan of another team, like, sure, it's happening, it's on, but we don't expect the Rockets to trade into the first round today. We'll see if they try to – do they have a second-round pick?
There's no real fantasy element.
They've got the last pick in the draft.
Okay, so the pick they'll make will be tomorrow at a time when no one cares anymore.
If they even make it, and it does
they might trade
help.
It away for a couple future second-rounders, who knows. Or maybe they cash considerations, whatever. Yeah, I mean, I'll be aware of it, but what's there to look at? We know Cooper Flagg's going where he's going. Dylan Harper's going to be a Spur, so we'll have to hate him for the rest of his Spurs career. And then I guess the draft really starts at 3. What are the Sixers going to do? Are they going to use Paul George and a pick to trade down and recoup assets? Because it starts with what Daryl Morey wants to do. Because it feels like Dylan Harper's going too. And then is it Ace Bailey scaring enough teams away so he goes where he wants? Or does someone say, I don't care what you did, we're taking you anyway? I got a feeling if Ace Bailey doesn't land where he wants, you're gonna be able to tell on his face.
You know, this draft, though, the NBA draft is just, it's such a, you know, in the NFL draft, guys have been there at least 3 years. Sometimes two that you've seen them on TV if they're a redshirt freshman. You have to be 3 years removed. But you've heard in the first round, if you're a college football fan, you've heard of all those players. You can be, if you're a college basketball fan, you will have heard of all of these players. If you're an NBA fan, you don't necessarily know any of these players other than a couple of them from March Madness. You'll know a few from the March Madness games you've watched. And that's unless you don't turn in and tell, you know, if you're filling out brackets and all that, chances are you've heard of a lot of the guys in the first round. But I think that just the average NBA fan, they're not going to know. The average fan is not going to know most of the players because there's only been 1 year. Like, you just don't have – There's only been 1 year of these players, and college basketball is kind of – a lot of people don't even watch regular season anymore for college basketball, not to the postseason. So it's been like that for the draft for years and years and years. That's one of the disadvantages. And trying to hold a draft over 2 days, I think it helps a team, honestly. I mean, I know the idea. People think it's built to, you know, turn that into a spectacle day two. That's never going to be the case. So my guess is it also helps the teams formulate potential trades, and it's maybe better for the team so that they can regroup and create their day two, their second round, really give it more thought in terms of what they want to do.
Yeah.
And maybe you have – I mean, it's like Major League Baseball. Do you care about the MLB draft? You don't really know a lot of those players either. A lot of them come from high school. You've never heard of them unless you're really studying the draft. But once your guy gets drafted in the NBA, once he gets drafted in baseball, you go read up on him. You try to figure out who they are. A lot of the people that I hear from, they don't know the players that they're first rounders that their teams draft. They're just in it. They're just New York Giants fans. They don't care about college football at all. So when they're drafted, they go to my scouting reports to find out who these players are. And for those of us who watch college football, we're like, how do you not know who, you know, Amika Egbuka is? Well, because I don't watch college football. I only watch NFL football. And right. There's a lot more people like that than you think.
No, when we went up to CJT play up at Army, I couldn't find a bar up there up in northern New York that had a college. They had tennis on.
Oh, yeah.
On a Saturday afternoon. And I was like, hey, can we put some college football on?
It's crazy.
They don't even think about
college
it.
College football in the north?
Boston,
in the northeast? Not the north,
New
but
York,
the northeast? Yeah, yeah, now college basketball.
Philadelphia?
You're having a lot harder time finding college basketball games in Houston, yeah, unless it's, you know, the SEC, it's a big deal, but that's its own little bubble. But college basketball is not nearly the sport it was in the south and southwest. Not the southeast. That's... like I said, mm-hmm, basketball, although I'm starting to think that baseball is as big as basketball in the Southeast Conference with the fan base. I didn't think so before, but with every passing year, it feels like more and more SEC fans show me that I think old school SEC fans, I think the people who are truly in SEC territory, not necessarily Texas or Texas A&M, but I feel like college baseball is as big to them in the SEC as college basketball.
You mean people like this?
You hover above, rain, hell below. That's four. Killing them hogs real nice and slow. I'm Brett Myers going
to
throw that gas down around your knees. Put you on your ass. Rebels, rebels.
Yes.
Bringing the muskets and bringing down death on us. Rebels, rebels. Keep everybody in bondage.
Oh, way down south in the land of cotton. Old times there are not forgotten. Look away, look away.
I would agree. Those people who have that on repeat are bigger into baseball than they are basketball in the south.
Yeah.
Sometimes I wonder what our interns think of our show.
There's a lot of
white guys. They'll hear things with no context. Our interns out there like, why is he singing?
She has no idea where that came from.
I wish I was in the land of cotton.
Yeah. Who's Brett Myers?
Who's Brett Myers? Just really bad guy.
Yeah. So to your point, Lance, I pulled up one mock draft. The first non-freshman is Colin Murray Boyles, who you probably have never heard of from South Carolina. He's a sophomore, not you specifically, but the general people. And the first senior, is a guy named Cedric Coward, who played 6 games at Washington State before he got hurt. He rose up the ranks. He's like a D3 player and eventually got to Washington State's not a Power 4 school anymore, but you get it. And he's a senior, late riser, barely played, was going to go to Duke and transfer there until he realized his stock was going up. So that's the first senior, number 14 overall. And that's a guy who only played like 6 games. They're taking him on potential more than anything else.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got Philadelphia taking Edgecombe.
Yeah, I see that in the mock too, yeah.
Yeah.
VJ Edgecombe.
I think Ace Bailey is definitely going to fall. I mean, you can't have that attitude.
He wants to, though.
I know he wants to.
Which is odd, but
but if you're doing stuff, it's kind of like, I mean, I'll be honest, I hate to bring up the name, but Shador did things that really made it impossible for certain teams to. If you don't talk to a team, they can't draft you in the NFL. Not as a quarterback. If you refuse to talk to them, they got to know who you are as a leader, so you're off their boards probably for most of, if not all, the draft.
Listen,
Ace Bailey, if you don't share your injury stuff, that's a big no-no with NBA teams. If you refuse to meet with them, I mean, golly.
Well, here's the thing, though. This is the first player ever that actually wanted to go to Washington.
I know.
So they should just let Washington.
Let them have them.
Take Ace out of everybody. Washington,
thank you.
You actually get the first pick. Take Ace Bailey, and then we can do the rest of the draft. Because there's finally a player that actually wants to go to Washington and play for the Wizards. Because that's the first time that's ever happened. So I think we should respect his decision.
Yeah, I think we should. I think this should be a respect my decision.
Yeah,
moment. With that said, I won't play with this team. I won't go here. I won't go there. With that said, I would like to become a Washington Wizard. Please respect my decision. Prayer hands, and we should respect his decision. Washington doesn't have anything nice anymore.
And it's an event with hats, so it fits what we're talking about. He can put that Washington hat on. Charlotte.
So my son told me this. So Alec is working at Alabama on the recruiting side, and he got a little chewed out yesterday by the big boss, but it was a good.
The boar?
It was a good. No, on his side.
Oh, okay.
And it was a good moment. It was a good moment for a good learning moment. But anyway, he's going through all these official visits, and Alec is the one who hosts the parents and the player, and he reaches out. Like, he does a lot. He does a lot. And he was telling me about their commits. You know, he gets all excited and tells me about commits. And in one of them, he said, he's a silent commitment. And I said, have you ever heard of this term?
I have.
You have? Okay. Have you ever heard of silent commit, John?
No.
Okay. So he said, and we got a silent commitment. He's a silent commitment. I said, what's a silent commitment? He goes, well, he told us he's coming here, but he doesn't want to make it official because he wants to do the hat thing.
Mm-hmm. His moment. They want.
Yeah,
moment.
He wants to have his moment, so he won't put it out there. So some players a silent commit because he's got to have his special day where he does his thing that he does, either a video or he dabs in front of certain hats. Yeah. Like he'll dab on a hat and then knock it off. That's what I would do.
Yeah, maybe he wants to be on YouTube, 24/7 sports. Now, silent commitments also can be used to fend off a team who won't leave you alone because you really are sitting in another place. Yeah, I'm with you, Alabama. While you're taking calls from Georgia, maybe you go on a secret visit to another place. But Alabama, you guys should be secure. I'm with you. Lock in your place just in case things don't work out in another spot. And then when time comes and all the Alabama staff is waiting for you to go public, you go, actually, you know what? After a lot of thought, I want to be a Bulldog. That happens too. So that's why you can never really trust a silent commit. You got to know the kid really well because maybe he just wants you to stop calling so much. But I also want to have my spot here just in case I do want to be at Alabama.
That's what a silent commitment is. I learned something new. I didn't know what that was. And in that world, they don't even think twice about it. They're like, that's fine. It's not a problem. We just want to get you in.
Yeah, but you got to make sure the kid is on the up and up because it's a way to deflect attention until you do something else. Good luck to Alec. He's picked an interesting road on the recruiting side and dealing with, kids around his age. But at some point, he'll grow out of it. Then he'll realize, this is not fun dealing with kids this age.
This is a terrible career.
He loves it now.
All right, we got a break. We got to talk a little HRP. That's a wonderful career. HRP is where you get you make your business better. You just make it better. It's important that you do the right thing by your employees. If you're a decision maker, a CEO, a CFO, if you are someone who is looking at how you do things in your business, HRP can come and evaluate for you. If you're not doing as well as you possibly can, if you're selling your widgets, whatever your widget is, and it's just, wait, the bottom line just isn't that great. HRP can come in and evaluate your business and tell you where you're making mistakes. They are experts in the payroll game, in the HR game, in the tax game. They are experts in the benefits package game, even though that they don't sell benefits package, but they know what's best for your company. You know, you are expert at what you sell, at what you do, your service or your product, whatever that is. You're not an expert in payroll. You're not an expert in HR. You're not an expert in taxes. You're not an expert in benefits packages. Let the experts do what's best for your – help you do what's best for your company. And they'll be partners with you like they're partners with us and all the other – you've heard so many testimonies about HR&P on our air. HR&P is where you get – you make your business – make your business better with HR&P. HRP.net, 281-880-6525 or HRP.net. Get a free evaluation and tell them you heard it right here.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right. NBA draft tonight. Cooper Flagg going to be number one overall. A white American player. You guys know the last white American player drafted number one overall in the NBA?
Bill Walton.
No, incorrect.
Bird wasn't. I don't know.
Kent Benson, 1977.
Wow. Whitey has struggled.
Hey, we got something.
48 years.
Tonight's a win for Whitey.
Yeah.
Okay.
W. A lot of big things are happening for Whitey in basketball. First, Reed Shepard. And now this. Top three, Reed Shepard, and now Cooper Flagg. There's a lot of momentum for white basketball players.
Whitey
and you got
with
that
the
other,
W.
And you got Con Knipple is going to go in the top six.
Yeah.
You got that one kid who's really not that good and should have gone back to school from, where is it? Another white guy, who looked weak in the tournament. I'll find out here.
Liam McNeely?
Yeah, him. Where'd he play?
Connecticut.
Yeah. But for the purpose of this argument, yay, Liam. Unless he's from Ireland. Unless he's from Ireland,
Liam
and then
McNeely?
I'm not in favor of this.
Yeah, played for UConn. He'll be a first rounder, at least.
There's a lot of white guys from this country getting drafted now, and they're not all from, like, Germany or parts unknown.
Liam's from Plano.
Plano, Texas?
Of course, he wound up at Monteverde, one of those academies in Florida, but originally played high school ball in Plano.
There's a coward is going to be drafted.
That's
a
guy kid
named,
I was, yeah.
A guy named Joan.
Not Askita Chavili.
I haven't seen that
None
yet.
Of those guys.
Greek.
We don't have a bunch of Greek guys getting drafted now.
We'll have Ben Seraph, a point guard from Israel. We'll have Nolan Traore, a point guard from France.
That's not what we're talking about.
We're talking about
the white guys, Dell.
What about
Danny Wolf? He's going to be drafted. That's a white guy. He sounds like a white guy.
Danny Wolf. Danny is kind of, might be.
Very white.
He's very white and played at a number of places. Michigan and Yale he played at.
Yeah, a Yale guy? Come on.
And T.J. McConnell, what he was able to do, you know, we're not talking about the turnovers.
You mean jump-starting fast breaks for the Thunder?
I mean, occasionally he'd pick the ball up right after half court and get double-teamed by long
and
defenders.
Throw the ball away?
Mostly he was fouled.
A lot of white guys. Ryan Kalkbrenner.
I'm telling you, it's never been a better time for white basketball players in the NBA other than maybe the 60s.
White power.
I wouldn't say that out loud.
I mean, he's already done it. We have it as a sounder, and he did
but he
it
just
again.
Did it on purpose.
Yeah.
It's not even taken
this
out of context.
This wasn't a Tyler White one. This
not
is not
even taken out of context.
Yeah. You know, you don't have the
in a very racially divided time.
Yeah, we
I
can't even
add.
Shoot you the bail of saying you're talking about Tyler White. You just yelled out
no, well,
white
Tyler
power.
White. Yeah. Well, he hit homers. Yeah. That's where it came from. But tonight, Whitey
you're in a,
Whitey with the W
tonight. You're in a very nice home. I would think how would Wendy feel about it, what I'm about to say? And go, you know
I
what?
I would think that he would think that.
And then, you know
what can I do to keep this home?
I'm not going to say this.
What would Wendy want me to do right here?
Yeah, I mean, you can't allow that to be
what would Wendy want on my wrist?
A www.
Yeah, in some instances, you should take her thoughts about things into consideration.
No, I would never. I wouldn't be able to say anything.
Well, you could talk about the Astros without being worried about that. You could talk about the NFL, but when you are talking about the influx of white American basketball players, you go, you know, white power is floating through my brain. What would Wendy think if I yelled that out? And you go, all right, won't say it.
No, I don't think about Wendy before.
Obviously, we know.
I would never say anything.
Listen, this is not about white American basketball players tonight. This is about American basketball players trying to get their sport back. Giannis.
True.
Jokic.
SGA, Canadian.
The Canadians. The Canadians are having a moment right now. I mean, there's Canadians all over the rosters of the two championship team, championship teams.
Nimhard, I believe, is Canadian.
Lou Dort.
Yep, as well, yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Canada's like our... It's not.
It's really not.
Canada's not anything really not like part us. Of we're our we're in a huge really war with Canada. It's just minutes away from missiles flying.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, yeah. They're going to... Yeah, that's... Yeah, they're going to...
Minutes away from us firing missiles. Well, from us firing missiles at them.
Do they
at
even
least.
Own missiles?
So
if you're firing missiles at another place, maybe we don't own them.
We don't, and they owned us in hockey earlier this year.
No, they didn't.
Did we beat them?
Yes, the Panthers.
No. I'm talking about U.S. versus
the Nations League. Yeah, they beat us.
The Nations, when they went actual
four nations,
country versus country.
They did beat us.
We got to get our sport back. So we need to come together. Listen. Put your racial differences aside, American basketball players. Not that they have any, actually.
We haven't seen that to be the case
at all. It's just other people on Twitter. Come together and, you know, get your sport back.
Stop letting the French and the Greeks and the Serbians take over. 10. We got to cut this out. We got Canadians winning MVPs.
Yeah.
James Harden's the last American-born player to win an MVP. What are we doing? What are we doing in our country right now?
It's been that long.
Yes.
It's been that long.
What are we doing?
Cooper flag stands for the flag.
Truth, justice, and the American way.
Cooper flag is America's basketball player. Mm. It's time for all of us to get on board together.
So you're going
and
to
hope
root
that
for
he
a
can
Dallas
lead us
Maverick?
Back to another MVP.
So you're rooting for a Dallas Maverick going forward?
Only in the Olympics.
Okay. But you want him to win an MVP.
Yeah, I mean, or Kevin Durant can win an MVP again.
Seems like. That's not.
Or Amen Thompson. Amen Thompson represents the people.
He's Jamaican, right?
Yeah. Be a little harder for him to win MVPs.
That's not America.
It's kind of America.
What's that?
Jamaica. It's not.
Wait, Amen Thompson's Jamaican?
We have a lot of.
He wasn't born in Jamaica, but there's a chance he was talking about.
Who does he play for in the Olympics?
Well, exactly. He talked about his brother. He and his brother representing Jamaica.
A lot of Americans go to Jamaica.
How's it a sellout move?
You're born in the States. You're American.
Unless
he says Boomba Clot on the court, if he's yelling Boomba, shoot the Boomba Clot
shot.
If he doesn't yell Boomba Clot, then he's not Jamaican.
How do you know he doesn't?
You shouldn't be yelling it.
If he does yell Boomba Clot.
You're appropriating Jamaican culture.
What if he goes to a social media and hashtag Reggae Boys? Which is what they call the soccer team. What if he does that?
Oh, well.
Then?
No, still. He's
if he puts on that, if he puts on the green and yellow of Jamaica in the Olympics, then Jamaican.
Then he's Jamaican.
We're not doing that.
Could play for Italy or Greece.
We need defense on the Olympic team. Amen Thompson reeks of Olympian. A lockdown defender, you throw him on some player from Argentina, it's a wrap.
No one is saying he isn't an Olympian. The question is who will he
French
represent?
Player. You know what he's going to guard? SGA when we're taking on Canada in the gold medal games.
Canada's making a gold medal game?
Well, they got some players.
They've had those players for years and haven't been able to put it together. Shout out to Jamal Murray's awful Olympics.
Yeah.
Will you turn on Amen if he represents Jamaica in the Olympics?
No, we're not turning on Amen. Go represent whoever you want. Go play for whoever you want. Who cares?
I mean, I'm just trying to figure out this nationalism thing that Lance got going on.
No, I didn't want him to play in the United States.
Well, what if America
don't
want him?
He was born in the United States. I wanted to play for
America says you didn't make the team.
Right? My man Thompson?
Yeah.
Great teammate, defender of offense.
But would he
start? Life, liberty.
Would he start an international
explosive
incident?
Explosive leaper.
Will he have worked on his rage enough to avoid an international incident?
We could have an international incident.
We could.
If he tosses a South Sudan
especially
player,
especially if Ime's the head coach.
Yeah. So
he could get a little messy.
So he and his brother are currently in the process of obtaining Jamaican citizenship because their father is from Jamaica, and they have contemplated representing Jamaica in future Olympics and other basketball competitions. So it's not a lock that he'll play for America when that time comes.
I mean, he'll be the best player they've ever had.
I'm trying to think of the great Jamaican basketball players. I mean, Patrick Ewing could have done it, but he didn't.
Oh, you mean played for Jamaica?
Yes.
I can't think of one player.
Where's Embiid from?
He is from...
If you want to catch an ass-whipping, go play
islands,
for Jamaica.
Right?
That's fine.
What did you just say?
If you want to catch an ass-whipping on the court, go play for Jamaica. If you want to win a gold medal, come to Death
Cameroon
Row.
Is where... Embiid's
if
from.
You want people all in your video dancing,
no,
go
not.
To Jamaica.
It's not the same thing. Yeah. Cameroon
kinda
and is. The islands aren't the same thing.
Kind of is.
In fact, no. An ocean separates them,
they're
actually.
Very different. Yeah.
It feels like the same thing.
Why is that, John?
Hold
on. This is a test.
Okay.
Think what Wendy would want you to say.
Because there's NBA players from there.
Okay, there it is.
Yeah.
Hey, I'll say the real reason. Because we do the same thing with Switzerland and Sweden.
That's right.
We just
Denmark.
Don't really look at regions.
But at least they're in the same geographical area.
Denmark.
In some ways.
I assume Denmark.
Oh, see, I thought they were
Belgium
close. I
and
didn't
Brussels
know.
And in Bruges yeah. And it's all you know.
So Cameroon is just like Jamaica, is what you're saying?
That's what he said. He said what he said.
No, I'm asking you now.
John said it with his chest.
Okay, John.
I'm just reiterating what John's. I'm just telling you what John.
But
said.
What do you think?
I'm saying John said what he said.
Okay, John, you said what you said. Okay, there it is. Old soft ass Lance.
What would Nicole do? Tell me to shut up.
I bet.
Looking at my wrist.
Shut up. Do you want to?
All
keep...
right, we got a break. We got. Hey, we missed the Jokic story.
Oh yeah, you missed it. Well, you can hear it on my show.
No, what did he? What happened to Jokic?
I put it on the audio.
Is
I put
he
on
a train
the rundown.
Target?
Well, you've been talking.
I've been talking. You haven't been talking.
Ruining our show with not putting the Josh Kroenke on.
You could have gone to that anytime you want.
Unprompted, he brought up the possibility of trading Nikola Jokic. Jokic is making 60-plus a year.
Yeah, this was a conversation about the second apron and what could lead to a potential trading of your best player. Here's Kroenke yesterday.
I think that for us as an organization, going into that second apron is not necessarily something that we're scared of. I think that there are rules around it that we needed to be very careful of with our injury history. The wrong person gets injured, and very quickly you're into a scenario where that I never want to have to contemplate, and that's trading number 15. We're very conscious of that, pushing forward and, you know, providing the resources that we can when the moment arrives. But that second apron... Is it a hard cap? I'm not 100% sure, but it's something that teams are obviously very aware of going forward.
So I don't really think he said. Well, I mean, it's. I guess he's open in case if somebody gets injured and they're the thing is falling apart. I guess. So should we trade Who do we trade for Jokic right now?
Ooh.
Alperen.
Ooh. Alperen.
Tari.
We're trying to hang on to Amen.
Picks. All the picks.
Fred.
All the picks in the world.
Yeah. We hurry up Fred and get him out of here.
No, Fred ain't going nowhere.
All right, KD.
Oh, okay.
Whoa.
Just brought him in. You want to send him out?
KD and Tari.
KD, Tari, and picks for Jokic.
I'd do that in a heartbeat. I wouldn't even. It's done. Let's move on.
And Alpi.
You can't. You want to duplicate with Alpi? You got to move. No, you move Alpi for a shooting guard. Now that you have Jokic, you can move Alpi for a shooting guard.
They're going to want
Alpi. Would you do Alperen, Amen, and all those draft picks? I mean, first of all, you couldn't make it work financially. No. But let's just say just the concept of Alperen and Amen for Jokic.
Yeah.
You have to say yes.
Yeah, you would.
As much as we love Amen, you have to say yes.
Yeah. I mean, he's the best player in the
league.
He's
the most impactful player in the world.
Yeah. Right.
Well, that's a fantasy.
Oh, another 50-point triple-double for Jokic.
But he's not on Wendy's list. Okay. All right.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
Yeah, that is pretty crazy. All right, we got a break. We got News of the Weird coming your way next right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Don't you go anywhere.
The best in Houston sports talk is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Time now for News of the Weird.
People are weird.
With John and Lance.
That's real weird.
We got a new star, everybody. The LSU girl, Alicia Huggins, who was in the crowd when they panned the crowd, and she is now embracing.
Oh, I know who you're talking about.
She was wearing the white top.
When they're having that little run in the fourth inning.
Yeah. Okay. Who are the – I mean
– she's the new Jen Sturger?
Jen Sturger. Oh, the Alabama quarterback's wife.
Oh, yeah.
Brent Musburger was falling all over.
Catherine May.
What was her – what was her name? Oh, God, I forget. We got Alicia Huggins right here. The girl behind, remember on 16 at Augusta? She became famous for a while.
Who?
She was, yeah, go look up behind the girl behind.
Catherine Webb. Actually, I was right.
Catherine
Webb was the one who was, yeah. And her husband, A.J. McCarron, was a Houston Texan.
Yep, yep.
So
yep.
For a while, she was the Texan wag.
Yep. Yeah, look up the girl. I think she went to Texas Tech, as a matter. She went
okay,
to Texas.
I need to say something that's very important right now.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen the Brett Favre the 30 for 30 on Brett
Favre?
I have. You have?
I have.
Okay. So you know the Jen Sturger part?
Yep.
The most, looking back at that, and they talk about how Jen Sturger came up was the, you know, was when she got something all over her shirt. She took it off and just wore her top, her bathing suit top that she had underneath it.
Yeah.
Because she had been bartending that day. And looking back at that, the biggest for me riddle and puzzle is what about the girl next to her, her friend? Yeah. How did she not get famous?
Yeah, she was good too.
She
yeah,
was
very
better
talented.
Than Jen Sturger. I don't know how she didn't. Like, how is she not doing stuff?
Yeah.
On what, TV
what?
Or whatever. Well, on TV. Like, how did she not get some kind of notoriety?
How does she not have an OnlyFans page?
Well, it's pretty simple. She didn't sign up.
And it was long.
And at the time, it didn't exist.
Yeah. Well, that okay, there's two hindrances. But other than that, she probably could have.
Who was the girl with Jen
Sturger?
Sturger. Because she
at Florida State.
Who was the overlooked girl with yeah. Jen Sturger?
And it doesn't say.
It doesn't?
This is a joke.
That is terrible.
She needs
I mean,
to
AI
be.
Sucks. AI doesn't know anything. But apparently, Miss Huggins is got a lot of fame right now. All you have to do is be standing there, looking good. Boom. Not guilty. Boom. Mm-hmm. Immediately not guilty. Where is what country... do you feel like is the best place in the world to have herpes?
Well, someplace with free health care.
Well,
I'm going to say Canada.
What's the context? Like,
I'm going to say Canada. It's less likely to spread because it's super cold, so you're not going to go out and do stuff.
There are people there who don't care if you have herpes and are willing to have relations with you. I'm trying to figure out what's your context.
Well, someplace with a lot of other disease?
Yeah.
Is that
well, Sir Graham Henry, the former head coach of the national rugby team, he's kind of pissed off. He says there's an embarrassing low sheep-to-human ratio in New Zealand, okay, and pies that are expensive, pushing $7. We need to do something new to be proud of, and we got to get back on the map. And he scrawled herpes in all caps on the chalkboard. It's time for New Zealand to become the best place in the world to have herpes.
I'm glad this is where this went. Because
I know.
When
as soon
you
as you heard sheep,
lack
you
of sheep or whatever you said,
you immediately bailed out.
What are we doing?
I know. You should have seen the look on Dale's face.
Well, I don't know if the sheep have played a role. I don't know. Well, no, you don't know. I don't know.
I don't, but it just seemed like we're going to a place none of us wanted to go.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. We're, men
there have been
men
some things said on this show today.
Men are men. Sheep are scared. I've heard that somewhere else before.
Where? What region of the country? What?
Don't say it.
I'm not saying anything.
Go
like
on.
That. I'm not saying
we're
anything.
We're home of what?
Hey.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
I forget where it was. Do you guys remember?
No. That's why I'm asking you.
Oh, it's 10:03. What are we
doing?
At
that.
It's your show.
What are we doing? Mapes wants to get on the show.
No, he doesn't.
Yeah, he does.
We had a conversation. He goes, I'm here for 5 hours. You want to cut a segment off my time? Cool.
Time to talk about Chastain Ford. My people. Love those people. Love what Chastain Ford has done for me. You will love what Chastain Ford does for you. Look. If you're in the market for a car, it has been going on for a while, but employee pricing is the best time to buy a car. It is the best time because employees get the best deals. In restaurants, they get, you know, $5 meals and what. If you're an employee somewhere, you're going to get the best deal. And everybody gets employee pricing right now at Chastain Ford. I know other dealerships have employee pricing as well, except not really. Because they're going to mark up, they're going to add on. By the time it's all said and done, you're like, wow, that's a lot more expensive than we agreed on. What happened there? And they're just going to – their goal is to make your car buying experience as expensive as possible, and that's not the goal of Chastain Ford. Chastain Ford wants to get you in that Ford SUV or pickup at the best price they possibly can. They want you to come back. See, they work that these deals – they work the financing so that you will come back to them, and people do all the time. I have bought 4 vehicles from Chastain Ford. That's where I'm buying my vehicles because I trust them. I like them. Everything is transparent. No markups, no add-ons. ChastainFord.com. It's on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead. Tell them you heard it right here.
Houston's only FM sports stations, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.